from John chapter 4 from verse 1. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our hearts are open to receive. Our hearts are open to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you something? You see, your revelation of grace will be reflected in your worship and devotion to God. Your revelation of grace will be reflected in your worship and devotion to God. You look at the way a person worships God and you know how much he knows about God's grace. For instance, you know, grace means unmerited, right? Unmerited favor and unmerited benevolence. Media, when you're ready with the scriptures, just let me know. Unmerited favor, unmerited benevolence. For instance, if you worked for something, maybe you came and you cleaned this place and I give you 10,000 naira. You may tell me, thank you. But actually, even if you don't tell me thank you, it's the payment for what you did, right? But when you did not do anything and you just came in and I looked at you and said, you know what, I love you so much. There's just something about me towards you. You know what, take this money. Your thank you will be higher, different, greater because you didn't deserve it, right? So that's how grace is. So the way you respond to God is a revelation of how much of his grace you understand. So there are some people, when they look at their salvation, they think that they were saved by what they did. Or maybe, you know, God, I've been trying. I've really been a very disciplined person. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. So I'm such a good person. And so when they say worship God or God blesses them, the way they respond is like, this is the reward for what I've been doing. Are you with me? Oh, okay. So you have to reward me because I've been doing this. When they say, go all out for God, they're like, okay. He has done this for me. Okay, maybe I would. If I'm doing this one, he should reward me. But when you understand all he has done for you, in fact, God wants your deeds for him or your commitment to him to be a response to your understanding of what he has done for you. God believes that if you understand all he has done for you in his grace, it will cause you to respond to him in devotion. Are you with me? It will cause you to respond. And please, this is a foundational teaching in the word of God. This is the foundational teaching in the Christian faith. If you don't understand this, according to the Bible, you are not a Christian. I'm telling you. In fact, if you don't understand this, the Bible has the right to say you are not saved. And so, when God sends me to Abuja and I come to plant a work, one of the first things we do for at least 1 or 2 years is to emphasize on the basics of the faith. Are you with me? What are the foundations of the faith? What are the basics? And so, grace is one of them. So, are you ready to be blessed this morning? I want a louder response. Are you ready to be blessed this morning? Glory! So, John chapter 4 from verse 1. It reads, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. So Jesus or the Lord knew that the Pharisees were following him. So he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Now everybody read verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Read that verse again. So this means Jesus had no other option but to go through Samaria. He must go through Samaria. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Follow me. Even if he wanted to change his mind, even if he wanted to circumvent it, there was no other way. He must go through Samaria. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Now, verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well and was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, mark that phrase. The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So, on a normal day, you wouldn't find a Jew and a Samaritan having any dealing together. Why? The Jews, sociologically, they felt they were better than the others. In fact, they were regarded as God's own people. They were the special people. Are you with me? They were the special guys. The Samaritans were just there. So, on a social and religious status, the Jews, they know they send Samaritans. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. You know, yesterday, I was discussing with our guys when we went to University of Abuja. I don't know, talk led to talk. And they said, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, correct me. They said, who says on two? And who says two are not the same? Is that true? Oh, yeah. Hey, God. I'm welcome to Abuja. I've entered now. Praise the Lord. Then they said, if you mistakenly tell somebody who stays at who say two, that he stays at Wuse Zone 2, they will be angry. That Wuse 2 is for the big people, the high class people. You are a high class person in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to hear your amen. Amen. And so that they'll be angry. Because Wuse 2 has no dealings with Wuse Zone 2. Don't mind me. But you get the point, right? Yes, so there is this mighty gap between them. And you see, sometimes life is like that. There is just a gap. Sometimes a person can be so great, eh? If you will have anything to do with somebody who is so low, it has to be by grace. There has to be something supernatural about it. Praise the Lord. Imagine the president of the United States, President Joe Biden. What does he have to do with a petty thief at Oshodi? Think about it. The gap is so wide. In fact, a petty thief is an extreme. Somebody staying in Oshodi that is doing a business there, that wakes up in the morning to fry akara and bread, to hustle to meet his daily needs. What business will he have to do with the ambassador of the United States? Are you with me? Yes, sir. It says the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Please hold this thought because it's very important where we are going. Praise the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He ignored her excuse. Kai. Jesus ignored the so-called barrier that she thought, you know, she was a Samaritan, and she was like, what are you doing here? What are you doing with me? Praise the Lord. Just ignored her excuse. He ignored the barrier and stepped over it. Ah, my God. Look at the great gulf. He jumps the great gulf and said, I will get to her. Praise the Lord. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence has this living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank it off himself? Whence hast thou this living water? Jump to verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Amen. So, I want to begin from verse 10. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto me, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Are you seeing this? Jesus asked her, if thou knows the gift of God. So I want to ask you this morning, do you know the gift of God? And do you know who it is that has come to us and presented salvation? Do we know the gift of God, and do we know who it is? Now, if you read further in this story, this woman was not just a Samaritan. She was also a Samaritan that had... She had married 5 husbands and she was squatting or she was cohabiting with her boyfriend. Are you with me? You see, one of the stories that exemplify the grace of God in the Bible is this story. Why would Jesus, you know, Jesus is God in the flesh. Why would Jesus look at the gap all the way from heaven? He became a man. Then, even as a man, there was a natural sociological barrier or social barrier between Jews and Samaritans. He jumped it. So he jumped from heaven, came to earth, on earth, broke the social class. I believe that's one of the reasons he sent the disciples away. He just told them, you know what? He eventually did not eat that meat too. He said, go and buy meat for me. You know, when you want to be alone with someone, you find a way to distract the person. Go and get meat for me. Because he knew those his disciples who were Jews, if they saw him there with that woman, they may even start saying, ah, master, what are you doing here? Maybe you are here and you hear my voice. Hearing my voice, and you are saying, what does God really have to do with me? Let me tell you something. It is people like that. People who feel they are so far lost. Those are the ones God really wants to meet. Yes. It is you that feel like, oh, I am the worst of the worst. That is the person who is actually the candidate to receive salvation. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. First of all, I want to start with who it is that saith unto thee. Who is God? You may never understand how big what God has given to you until you know who he is. You know, many times when as a pastor or as a minister, we go around preaching the gospel, telling people, come to the Lord. Take your walk with God serious. Respond to Jesus. And sometimes they're like, do you really know who he is? The Bible speaking in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah was talking about the throne of God, he said, in the throne room of God, the seraphims and the cherubims, each angel had 6 wings. Now, I'm talking about spiritual beings. In the presence of God, each angel had 6 wings. And of the 6 wings, 2 of the wings were used to cover his face. And 2 of the wings were used to cover his feet. And with 2 of the wings, only 2 out of the 6 were used to fly. So why are the angels covering their faces? Why are the angels covering their feet? Because you cannot expose yourself anyhow before the thrice holy God. Are you with me? This God is so holy and so high. The Bible says, the heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. How big is God? How great is God? If you have ever entered a plane before, and you see how... From the altitude of the plane, the world just looks so tiny that you can just press it like this. When people brag about what they do for God to accept them, they don't understand who God is. I'm telling you, when we preach grace, and somebody says, you are just preaching grace, you think that, oh, it's just by grace. Yes, it's by grace. It is only by grace. Because even the so-called righteousness you are trying to do, God is seeing your nature. Are you with me? Look at Adam and Eve. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, they went to hide. They were hiding with fig leaves. And you think God did not know where they were? How can you hide from the God who created you and the very thing you are using to cover yourself? You know, I was preaching to someone one time, and the person said that, listen, the real holiness is that you don't wear earring, you don't use lipstick, you don't wear trousers. That is how to be holy before God. I said, the God you are trying to impress with clothing, Adam and Eve were naked and he clothed them. They did not know they were naked. He clothed them. It was after they sinned that they knew that they were naked. Is it that kind of God you will impress with a cloth that you made after the fall? Is that how you want to impress God? God clothed them. Oh, we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived and they never knew. Ah, my God. So it's not clothing that will get you saved. Are you with me? It's not your morality that will get you saved. If you will be saved, it has to be by a gift. Are you with me? If a man will be saved, it has to be by the grace of God, the gift of grace. Say after me, grace is a gift. Praise the Lord. Do you know who God is? When you look at the greatness of God, Jesus. When you look at the loftiness of God, how high God can be. He said in Isaiah, your righteousness is even as a filthy rag. Meaning, if you tried, if you even tried, when it ascends up to heaven, it becomes a rag, and not just a rag, a filthy one. How do you want to impress that God? How do you want to impress him? How do you want to, how can you claim that your salvation will be by what you have done? And so our God is so great, but guess what? As great as he is, he has been thinking about you. Hey, it's something to rejoice about. Glory! As great as God is, he thinks about you. No wonder Ephesians chapter 2 says, for his great love wherewith he loved us. When you study the subject of grace, you will come out with one conclusion. It is great love. So after me, I am loved by God. It is great love. And so, let's go back to our study. If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee. So I've talked about who is God. Who is God? You know when Jesus was, was preaching on the earth during his physical ministry. One day, he looked at their temple and he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Although, spiritually, he was talking about himself, right? He was the temple. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they were like, are you greater than our father, Abraham? This temple that it took 46 years to build, you are not even up to 50 years old. And you said, then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Did you understand that? Praise the Lord. He's so big, he's so great. But he thinks about me. No wonder the angels cried in Psalm chapter 8. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of us. Are you with me? Say after me, I'm blessed. But that's not all. He says, who it is that said unto me, give me to drink, if thou knowest the gift of God. So what is the gift of God? Thank God the Bible always explains itself. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Everybody read this verse again and I will explain more. 1, 2, 3, go. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory! You see, don't think we are trying to psych you up to just shout. Think about it. The gift of God is eternal life. Before I talk about the gift of God as a subject, eternal life. Do you know what it means for you to have eternal life as a gift? You know, there is a kind of gift you will have, or there is a kind of substance you will hold. There is a kind of phone. Let me not go too far. There is a kind of phone you will have. Someone will ask you, because the person may know you. He knows your bank account. How did you get this phone? Hey, what's the latest iPhone now? iPhone 15, Abby? 15 Pro Max. And they know you. They know your monthly salary. That if it gets up to 50K, it's a miracle. And then they see you with iPhone 15 Pro Max. Say, how did you get this thing? They said, even if you wanted to steal it. How did you get this thing? Where did you go? And you just tell them, you know what? It was a gift. Eh? Ah. Just like that. Say, who? So what did you do for the person? He said, the person just. What did you do for the person? He said, the person just liked me and gave me. Ah. He just liked you and gave you this phone like that, just like that. Let me tell you, that is the glory of his grace. Just like that. Now, eternal life is more expensive than that too. Do you know what it means? That after here, even if you die physically, because you believe in Jesus, at the end of the age, because you believe, you will be raised back with a new body and you will live forever. Do you know what it means? Oh, let me tell you, believe it or I talked about it a little bit. At the resurrection service, the proof that we will live forever is that Jesus Christ rose up. Yes. If he rose up, it means that anyone that sleeps in him, shall he bring with him. So he rose up as the first fruits. Those who believe in him, we are coming as the full harvest. Yes, I'm telling you. Another proof that we will live forever is that God heals. If he heals your mortal body under sin, how much more a new body given by him? So, eternal life, the gift of God, forever. How long is forever? Now, look at this. The wages of sin is death. All of us here, we deserve this death he's talking about. But guess what? Grace is saying you don't get what you deserve. Grace is saying you don't get what you deserve. Because of Jesus, you get what he deserves. Hey! Are you with me? So it is undeserved for us. But because of Jesus, we can now receive it. No wonder. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. I like that "but" is a disruptive word there. It changes everything. So if I shout, the wages of sin is death. Okay, I know. I have sinned. I'm going to die. But, that "but" changes everything. It changes everything. So because of Jesus, everything has changed. Hey. This is the gift of his grace. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. You know, this "but," this disruptiveness of the word "but," we see it also in Ephesians 2. It says, "But you who were dead in trespasses and sins." But you. Let's look at it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Are you blessed? Let me tell you, this is a very fundamental teaching in receiving salvation, no? Like we're going to see in this teaching today. You will see how serious it is. Maybe you have thought that grace revelation or grace teaching is just one of those subjects in the Christian faith that, maybe I can consider it. It's not something so serious for everybody. You know, that's how someone look at grace. That, okay, I'm not a grace person. You will soon find out, if you're not a grace person, you're not a Jesus person. It says, "And you are to quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past year walked according to the course of this world." Now, this is what you can say before and after. He's telling you where you are coming from and where he has brought you to. He says, "Wherein in time past year walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He's telling you that this is who the unbelieving man is. First of all, look at that first verse. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead." What can a dead man do? What can a dead man bring to the table? Nothing. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The next verse. "Wherein in time past your word, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This is how deep. Now, look at the next verse. "But," after he tells you everything that was laid up against you, everything that you wear, he now tells you, "But God." Say after me, "But God." Say after me, "But God." It just looks like this man, he's condemned to die. You know what? The police take him inside. He has been this. He has been that. He was a drunkard. He was an extortioner. He was a rapist. He was a killer. But, are you with me? But God did something that changed everything. Ah. Hey. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Are you with me? So that means everything we have received in salvation, it is because but God. So in spite of the fact that we were far away from God, listen, undeserved means, even if you did not sin, the gap is too much. Are you getting this? Like the story we just heard about this woman, the gap between Jews and Samaritans, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, but not just that, she was also a harlot. She was also a prostitute. She was also a city girl. She was also a runs girl. Are you with me? So apart from the fact that there was a gap, there was a social gap between the Jews and Samaritans, she was also undeserving of the help. Are you with me? She was also undeserving of the attention. But guess what? Jesus came to her. Praise the Lord. He came to her, and eventually, she was not the one that gave Jesus the water. I wish you get what I just said. Eventually, Jesus never collected any water from her. She was the one that received living water from him. In the same way, you cannot bring anything to the table in salvation. When you look at it, God may come to you and say, "Okay, give me water to drink," as though he's the one that needs you. Eventually, he came because you need him. He came because you need him. Say after me, grace is a gift. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. And now, listen. If you are ever going to receive grace as a gift, you must see your inability to help yourself. You must see your helplessness. You must see your what other word will I use now? Your depravity. You must see how far gone and lost you were. Then you can now see the greatness of his sovereign intervention. On one hand, you must see how backward and how far away you were from God on a social ground, and how far away you were from God because of your sin. Are you with me? Then you must now see the sovereign intervention of God. How God stretched out his arm to reach out to you. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you why we need to teach grace. If you understand grace properly, you will not have a problem with faith. Oh, let me say that again. If you understand grace properly, you will not ever have a problem with faith. Now, you say, God, if I just get more faith, I can believe you for a car. I can believe you for a change of level. I can trust you for my future. I can trust you for my marriage. I can trust you for my destiny. But listen, if God went this far to save your soul, how much more earthly things? Ah, no wonder the Bible says, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So if you believe him, if by just believing he saved your soul eternally, how much more the earthly and fickle things of this world? How much more your health? Do you think he will not be holding back to heal your body? Grace is the bedrock for faith. Hi, God. He looked at you in your sin and gave you the best of himself. The best of himself called eternal life. His life, his own life, he gave you freely. What is now power to cast out the devil? Hey. What is now power to say, Satan, get lost and he will not back you up? Are you following me? The bedrock of faith is grace. No wonder Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Let me tell you something. We did not come here to play. Every service is to build a block in your spirit. The next service to build another block. That by the end of the year, you look at yourself and said, it can only be by the grace of God. I've been built. Amen. Look at this. The gift of God is eternal life. This free gift, it is so expensive. We needed it so much. You know, when you say the gift of God, meaning God looked at us carefully and said, what do they need? What do they need? You know, we needed the grace of God. We needed eternal life so much, but we did not even know. Ah, my God. We didn't even know that is what we needed. We didn't even know. He looked at us and said, what these people need eventually is my very life. And he gave it to us freely. Say after me, freely. Free. Say after me, freely, It is when you understand this, that if God gave me his life and surrendered all of this for me, my response to him is to serve him. Yes. This is the bedrock of Christian devotion. This is the bedrock of everything. For the wages. Can we just meditate on that verse again? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, the wages of sin is death. Meaning, think about all the sins I've made, all the mistakes I've made. Maybe you are looking at yourself and saying, oh, look at all the mistakes I've made. Oh, what if God judged me? Some of you have even judged yourself, but guess what? He did not judge you. He put the judgment on his son. He did not judge you. Instead, he gave you what he deserved and took what you deserved. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Before we go further, two verses I want to show you. Something to rejoice about. Something to rejoice about. Maybe another idea to make you understand how great eternal life has been given to you. How great this eternal life that has been given to you is. Do you know how much is oxygen? Are you hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Even the unbeliever is surviving by the grace of God. There is the grace of God that is even making the unbeliever survive. Then look at how great. From there, there's the higher level of grace which we have in Christ Jesus, which is the ultimate. Are you with me? What did you do to get oxygen? Hey. Okay, now, eternal life. How do we get it? How do we get it? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. He that had the Son hath life. He that had the Son hath life. Say after me, I have life. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. So, how do I get it? How do I get the Son of God? How do I get the Son of God and get this life? Read on verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. Now, for it to be just by believing, then it has to be by grace. Wait, how did you get the Son? How much did you pay? How much did you get that? How much did you pay for your name to be registered? How much did you pay for you to get the commodity called the Son of God? How much did you pay? Are you with me? Yes, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So if I just believe, you see, for grace to be by faith or for salvation to be by faith, it has to be by grace. If by just believing, if by just putting faith in Jesus Christ, I will receive salvation, then it has to be by grace. It has to be free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you, do you understand what I just said? Do you understand it? Then John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life. And so because of him, because of his work, I have received life. Amen. So three reasons why grace is a gift. Number one, we don't deserve it. I've just talked about that. Our good works are not a requirement for salvation. They are an overflow of salvation, or they are fruits of salvation. Our good works are not a requirement for salvation. They are the result of salvation. And there's a big difference. There's a difference between saying, I live holy and I walk in righteousness because Christ has made me holy. Are you with me? And saying, I live holy and I live righteous because that was how I got salvation. No. I give my tithe. I pay my offerings. I don't steal. I don't, all of that. All of that cannot be. You see, morality is not salvation. There are many moral people who are going to hell. Did you hear what I just said? We don't deserve this. There is nothing we can do on our own to get it. That's the second one. There is nothing we could do on our own to get it. Number three, we cannot boast about it in ourselves. Our only boast is in the Lord. Now, let me bring this thing closer home. The only way you will make heaven is by what Christ has done. The only way you will be accepted is by what Christ has done. Is by what Christ has done. Ephesians 2 from verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Say after me, there is no boast. There is no boast. There is no boast. Praise the Lord. Our works, even after we get saved, will never be able to be the requirement. It cannot be the cost. And let me tell you why. You see, after Adam sinned, listen to what I'm saying, no? Pay attention closely. After Adam sinned against God and became naked, are you telling me that from that time henceforth, Adam did not do some good things? Pay attention. Did he do some good things after that? He must have been kind to some people. He must have been generous to some people. Adam may have even been disciplined at some point, telling himself, I will not do this evil, I will not do that evil. Even though the propensity to do it was within him now. But can I tell you, with all the good Adam did, God did not come one day and say, Kai, okay, you have tried, let's now give you eternal life. It was not able to reverse him from sin to eternal life. Are you with me? Did you notice that? That with all the good, even Abel, God had respect unto Abel's offering. That did not mean, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Those are my pastor. They are friends of mine, my pastor friends. Pastor Awe, no, Apostle. Apostle Awe, please come forward. Come and sit. This is a pleasant, very pleasant surprise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, with all the good that we saw in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jesus, thank God, I like the Bible for one major thing. See, if you study the Bible closely, you will discover that God was painting a picture that was pointing to Christ from the very beginning. So now, when you look at the Bible, and after Adam fell, you will see another great man that God worked with, Abraham, or let's say Noah, and you'll be praising Noah. Noah tried. At the end of Noah's life, you discover that Noah was a drunkard. He was so drunk, he began to expose his nakedness everywhere. Are you with me? So now, in his good, you still see his flaw. In spite of all the good he did, you will still see that the Adamic nature of sin was in him. Follow me. Then you come to Abraham. So you see the way God is working with Abraham. You say, Abraham is the man. This is the perfect man. Then you will now see that Abraham lied so that he will protect his wife. Abraham lied to collect money. Are you with me? Then you go further. Oh, you think, okay, Joshua will be the man. Joshua will be the man. You will now see things Joshua did. So self-righteous, say, you know what? Only me and my family will serve God. In the end, Israel went into anarchy. Are you following this? You go, you now meet Saul. Oh, Saul is the king. You know, my God. Saul is the king that God will use and rescue Israel. After a while, Saul began to do his own thing. Saul sinned against God. Are you following this? Dude, people say, Saul. People don't know. People say, what did Saul do? Saul did many things. So Saul killed 70 prophets in one day. Then you now go to David. David, the man after God's heart. Hey! You now say that David will kill somebody, collect his wife. So eventually, who is the perfect man? Are you with me? As you keep going on, you will keep seeing that man on his own is flawed. There is no perfect man. Then God himself became a man. Hey! Was in all points tempted yet without sin. Are you with me? He was a perfect man. Then now died as a sinful man. Took on all the sins we deserved. Then the blessings of his perfection, he said, come. I know you are a sinner. Take. Are you with me? The blessings of his, all the righteousness he did, all the things he did, he lived a perfect life. He was the only one deserving of heaven. Are you with me? He was the only one deserving of heaven by perfection. And guess what he said? You that does not deserve it, receive it. What do you think was happening on the cross that day? Jesus just stood like this and somebody beside him, he was in pain. Somebody beside him said, we deserve to die because we are sinners. You don't deserve to die. Jesus looked at him and said, for this man to get the revelation, bam, he's ready for salvation. Are you with me? That is the requirement for salvation, to believe and trust that you don't deserve it. Are you with me? On the cross there, he said, I believe God opened his eye to get it. On the cross, you don't deserve to die. You lived a perfect life. We deserve to die. Hi, why is this thing happening? He said, you know what? For you not to be deserving of this death, yet you are dying, that means there is something more to you. He said, okay, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus now looked at him and said, that for you to catch the revelation this day, today, just like that. Just like that. And he leaped from darkness into life. My God. You know, on the cross, it was a description of self-righteous people and those who we trust in his grace. The other man was there, he said, if you are a king, save yourself. The other man was there saying, if you are a king, save yourself. It's not the way some people believe. If I can pray 3 times, I will be saved. If I can fast very well, I will be saved. Are you with me? If I can do good to the poor. You know what they are trying to do? They are trying to save themselves by their own works. But the other guy on the cross said, you know what? I deserve to die. He does not deserve it. Remember me in your kingdom. And he leaps from darkness to light. For by grace are you saved. See, I'm trying to explain this thing to you in as many ways as you can get it, so that it will sit in your spirit, man. Let me tell you, we are not the one that invented this grace message. Jesus is the one that taught it. Jesus taught it. Let me tell you, emphatically, your past Your present, your future, since all the mistakes you made, because of him, they have been cleared away. Are you with me? Let me tell you, it is this, a proper understanding of this will not make you sin more. It will make you walk in holiness. Because you don't want to take what he has done for granted. Are you with me? He cannot labor this much and clear all my sins and I will take it for granted. A Christian who is not serious about the Lord, you are taking the grace of God for granted. With all he did for you, they say preach, evangelize, you say no. Do you understand what he did? It's just like somebody saw you sleeping under the bridge in Lagos, picked you up, just said, I like you, sent you to school, trained you. Then one day in the house, says, can you please just help me warm rice? He said, are you talking to me like that? Then you reply to him, are you talking to me like that? He will look at you, is there something wrong with you? You should be asking him, sir, what will I do? Are you with me? So that means grace is a gift. You cannot boast about it. Now, imagine the man that trained you and I heard you bragging to your mates. Say, do you know why he picked me on the road? I was very intelligent. I'd see, he saw how I was just. And you know, that's not why he picked you. He picked you because of great love. He just loved you. There is no boast in salvation. Praise the Lord. Romans 3 verse 23 to 27. Now it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Say to me, by faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That's a long explanation, but we'll just jump it. I will explain this later. Because after this teaching, we're going to do grace is just. Are you with me? We're going to do grace is powerful. We're going to do grace is a teacher. So there are still many things we're going to explain. Are you with me? To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying that he puts the judgment for all our sins upon Jesus Christ, so that even though he is loving and gracious, he's also justified in doing so. So now, because Christ has taken all the punishment for our sins, God is not wrong to look at somebody who just believed yesterday and say, you are forgiven. You know, somebody may ask this question, how can a person who was a serial killer just wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I want to trust in Jesus. Lord, I put my faith in you. Forgive me. And just like that. You can look at him and say, no probation. Like, you just did that. And because you just believe, you are forgiven. You can say God is not fair. You can say God is not fair. But when you look at the fact that all the punishment was put upon Jesus, you remember, it was God who became flesh. So God put all the judgment on himself. So he's now righteous to tell somebody, you are forgiven. Are you with me? Because of that, that he might be just and the justifier. So God is just to forgive people, and now he's the justifier of those who believe. So verse 27, he now says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No. That is nay, but by the law of faith. So, boasting is excluded completely because Christ has taken all the punishments. You cannot boast again. And so now, by the law of faith, if you believe, praise the Lord. As I round up, Jesus is teaching on grace. We can't finish, but we'll just touch some of them. Luke chapter 15. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. So, the publican and sinners, do you know who publicans were? So, because we are going to see this publican example later again, let me explain who they were. When the Roman Empire conquered the Jewish nation, Israel, they employed some Israelites to be taking taxes from their own brothers. And those people they employed were called publicans. Now, those publicans were so corrupt. They were so vile. Sometimes they would take people's wives and sleep with them. because some people may not have the money to pay. Are you with me? They were very vile, corrupt, wicked. They were also wicked. So if you want to talk about the worst of the worst of sinners, do you realize that, look at the way the scripture wrote it. He said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. So they are both sinners, but publicans is on a different level. Are you with me? That's what they put there. So you see, the publicans, they are sinners, so, but we need to separate them from normal sinners. Are you with me? Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, I've explained this before. The reason he was doing this was because he wanted to reach their soul. Praise the Lord. He was not doing it just because he enjoyed the sin. Amen. Amen. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You know, when people read this story, they always talk about the fact that we were lost and God came to find us, right? And that is the only way to receive salvation. You will soon see why. Now, what he was talking to the Pharisees. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Verse 5. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Glory! Glory. So that means when God finds us, he's even the one that rejoices. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. This is where many people stop in this story. What happened to the remaining 99? Have you ever thought about it? What happened to the remaining 99? See verse 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So that means, according to Jesus, if you don't see yourself as lost enough, you are not qualified for his grace. If you claim that by my own righteous, my own this thing, he says that is the reason why you'll be disqualified. Are you seeing why? If you now think, if my good works are one of my bad works, that's why God accepts me. Are you seeing why that is flawed? So Jesus is saying those 99 will be the ones that will be lost. Say after me, I receive the gift of grace. I receive the gift of grace. Final one for today, because Luke 18. When you study the Bible, you will discover that God has been shouting grace from the very beginning. You know, we've talked about it here before. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected and Abel's sacrifice accepted? Was it because Cain brought rotten yams, like they told us in the old times on the school? Why? But if you study the story properly, the Bible said Cain brought of the best of his yams. So Cain brought, that's why he was angry. I brought the best of my crops and God rejected it. What did Abel do? He just killed the lamb. But you see, Abel's own was symbolic of the Lamb of God in Christ. It was by the blood of Christ we will be saved, not by your own works of yams. Are you with me? The man of works is thinking, I brought this. It is only the one that God brings that will be accepted. Jesus said, I am the way. You cannot invent your own way. Are you with me? Your own way is your own yam. You cannot invent your, you must trust in his grace. As long as you want to boast about my own work, you will miss it. Can I shock you? This will be part of the reasons why people will miss heaven. This is a very serious teaching, you know. People will even claim that, okay, I was doing this in your name as my reason for salvation. Whereas it has to be faith in his blood for salvation. On that day, Jesus will say, they will say, didn't we do this for you? So, because of what I did, you're supposed to accept me now. They say, that's when he said, I don't know you. It's only those who trust in what I have done, not what they did. As we round up, let me tell you something. For years, I struggled with the teaching of grace. I had to go back and study the Bible. And I was like, my God. You know the funny thing? Even those who reject the teaching of grace, it's only by grace they will be saved. Those who are saved and fight grace, it's by grace they are saved. So after me, I couldn't deserve it. I couldn't work for it. I cannot boast about it. But I've received it freely. I rejoice in his grace. I rejoice in his work for me. Glory! Luke chapter 18 from verse 10. We looked at this on Thursday, but we'll look at it again. From verse 9, please. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Everybody read this verse again. Unto certain which did what? Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Who is Jesus? Our master, right? He's the way. Let's listen. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as this other man, as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Remember publicans, right? So you see, he listed sinners. Then he said, this publican. So two men went to pray. It's just word and opposite. Pharisee, publican. Pharisee is the symbol of Israeli nobility. You have mastered the Torah. Do you understand? You are the symbol of religious and social excellence. And you come with that pomposity. I thank thee because I'm not like this guy. This guy? Why should you even be listening to this guy? Listen to me first. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Now, must you fast? Of course. Must you give your tithes? Of course. But not as a requirement for God to listen to you. Hey. Not as a bragging right. It is. Are you hearing me? It is not a requirement for salvation. It is a fruit of salvation. So, the approach is different when you say, Lord, you have saved me with your life. Now I will fast to know you more. Yes. Are you with me? You have done so much for me. My tithe I will give to you. My money I will give to you. Are you following this? And so he was using it as a bragging right. As a reason why God will answer by force. I'm bragging before God. Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his heaven unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Everybody read verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. If you come to call the prince, you will leave a beggar. If you come a beggar, you will leave a prince. Pastor, what about heaven? Help those who help themselves. No! If you can help yourself, you don't need heaven. Heaven helps those who cannot help themselves. I know the context they try to use it is so that you not be irresponsible about your faith. But you see, in the context of salvation, it does not work. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, like I explained on Thursday, people don't go to the temple without lamps. So the Pharisee went there, but he ignored the lamp and was bragging about what he has done. Somebody went and looked down and said, be merciful unto me. I trust in this redemptive lamp. That was symbolic of the work of God in Christ Jesus. The lamp of God slain from the foundation of the world. So I trust in your sacrifice for me. Jesus is saying, that is the one that receives salvation. So after me, Lord, I thank you for your gift. You know, somebody may say, I'm not like the Pharisee. I don't look down on people. You are even condemning the Pharisee. Let me tell you, you do. Some people, they will say, have you ever heard people say things like this? I'm too dirty to come to God. I'm too dirty. Do you know what I've done? I'm too dirty to come to God. So you think that your uncleanness is now your prerequisite to enter. That if you are righteous enough, you can now come in and say, Lord, you know, the last 1 week I've been good. So I can talk to you. If that's your basis of your confidence. He says, that is the reason why you are shutting the gates of heaven to you. But it is that very thing that you said, oh, I'm too dirty. That's the reason why he said, okay, if you look at if you see your own helplessness, the access is open to you. Say after me, grace is a gift. I rejoice in the gift of his grace.